Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 40. This week, barley wine. We ask you to respect the laws, drink responsibly. I'm not obligated to say that, but I do it anyway. I'm your host, Eric Schomer, and I have with me today Doug, Luke, and Mike. Oh, well, Mike for a while, as I'm getting real-time feed updates on the situation.
That's fantastic.
From Iraq. No, Mike is Mike's had a little bit of a... little bit of a cold, which seems to be going around every over the holidays. Was awful. So
Luke's next.
Oh, yep, Luke.
And no.
And then it'll probably come through the wire to me. We've got a few people here for our barrel of barley wine bonanzas. I just wanted to get back to that before I forgot because I worked hard on that.
That was tough.
You've been holding out on that all day.
Yep, that's been sitting there. I'm like, I need three B's. I'm like, barley wine. That's an easy one. Barrel. Well. It must come in a barrel. And then Bonanza was obvious, the follow-up.
So, obviously.
I don't know. You know, it's just the way it works out. But yeah, over the holidays, it was like everywhere I went, there were cancellations. Like, I was supposed to go over buddy's house and, you know, exchange gifts. His daughter wakes up throwing up everywhere. It's like every time I went to go someplace, there's somebody throwing up. Except in my house. We've had two earaches, but that's it. So I count myself lucky. I have no problem going to get antibiotics or whatever that pink shit is that you have to put in the refrigerator for earaches. I got that. That's cool. As long as you don't boot all over the floor, I'm happy. So you guys have a? Do you guys do anything for the 2010 bust out into New Year's?
Yes. Yes.
You go drinking?
Yes.
Did you have everybody's? Yeah. So how'd that go?
Well, to somewhat quote Mike from what I remember, when he showed up to kind of join up with me and some of the people that I was out with, he took one look at me and said, "Holy shit, kid."
when did I even come around to find you? It was about 10 or 10:30, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
I leave you to your own demise, and, well, you certainly made it happen.
So, wait a minute, Luke. Now, before you really discovered all this alcohol stuff, you did like what, apple schnapps or whatever it was?
And apple sours. Pucker. Well, yeah, the different puckers and amaretto sours. And
did you get stumbling drunk back then too, or is that a new thing?
I did once off of amaretto sours, and that was an $80 bill, I think.
Oh.
Holy cow.
It's steep.
Yeah, that is a bit steep. Yeah.
So is this working out better for you then?
It's relatively cheaper.
it's a cheaper way of getting in some trouble.
Yep.
I could see that. That could be.
I've good. Sufficiently corrupted you, Luke. Yeah. I apologize.
What you did is you made
you know
his
you can go cheaper.
Right.
I just want to say
you can go cheaper. There is Keystone Light still available.
Oh God, no.
And Doug's a huge fan of Keystone.
I don't care what my brother says about it being the nectar of the gods. It's not true.
Come on. Cold Creek Ice.
Oh, no, it's Clear Creek Ice. But no,
that we discussed awful. That in the previous episode.
Yeah. And I think I drank the last three of those tonight.
I couldn't do it.
This is bad. This is not good stuff. What we're talking.
Did you get like a handle of Aristocrat for like $8?
Maybe. No. Wait, I don't even know where you get that.
That's the way to go. Aristocrat vodka for $8?
Really? Cha-ching. Yeah, but then you got to mix it with something. You know how much orange juice costs these days? Have you seen
don't
the economy?
Need to mix it with anything. What are you, a square?
Sorry, straight vodka. Throw some ice in there. You know what's kind of funny? Ironically speaking, if I may, I bet you it's probably sufficiently more money to buy the ice for that vodka than it would be just to buy the vodka. If you go to the store and you buy some of that fresh ice, like 20 pounds, yep. Oh, dude, come on. Probably cost you more for the ice than the vodka. That's a bad idea.
Take the ice out of the vodka. Ooh. That's your answer.
You could, if you could super freeze the vodka into ice, you'd do it all in one shot.
Yep.
You just can't. Perfect.
You put it in the freezer, man, for like an hour.
Vodka?
You're good to go.
Yeah. Have you ever put vodka in a freezer?
Yes.
You go
the vodka that he buys might be a little watered down.
Yeah. you're talking about making
just
it cold.
Comes out as a fleshy.
Okay, just to make it cold. And syrupy, as opposed to actually freezing it.
Exactly.
A pro tip, if you put your vodka in the freezer and it freezes, never buy that brand again.
Yeah,
there you go. See, that's...
Your kids have been watering down your vodka to make it look like they haven't been drinking any.
There is some truth to that. I've seen that done.
Is that spoken from experience?
You know.
Awesome.
And if the whole thing freezes, then you know there's a problem. You didn't even leave a little at the bottom. So speaking of things that you could probably put in the freezer, barley wine is probably one of them because it's freaking intense. So I think that this episode is truly going to test the palates and put your beer drinking to the test. This is as far as if you look at how light beer goes and American Pilsners, if that's what you, if you want to make it sound fancier than just saying Budweiser, there's you can even challenge the India Pale Ales of the overhop variety, the U.S. variety, to this of barley wine, I think. I mean, is that a fair statement to say barley wine is a little, will put hair on your chest?
Well, among other definitely places. Towards ABV.
Yeah. So it could put hair on your chest and apparently, as Doug says, on your rectum. So you do what you want with that. Oh, did I put words in your mouth, Doug?
You put something there.
Well, all righty then. So what? Let's go through what we're drinking tonight. So here's my story. I always seem to have a story about how I got what I got. So I got Pugsley Signature Series. It's Shipyard's Barley Wine Style Ale. It's 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces. It says cellar aged. I think it cost me like $9 or something like that. Now, I went there with the... I know they have more than one at the drink shop, which is the place I usually go because it's only like a minute down the road. And I walk in, and it looks like they were robbed. Like, they had nothing. The place, you could see through all the shelves straight across, 4 rows, right? And all they had was this specific barley wine. They had like 10 of them. And in their area where they usually have all the UK imports, it was this. This was it. This is what didn't get robbed. And
What size is the bottle?
It's a pint.
Oh, it's okay.
It's big. And on top of which, I went up to the guy. I'm like, so is this all the barley wine you got? He's like, oh, we should have two. Oh, no, the other one's sold. I'm just like, the place is missing everything. It's a drink shop without drinks. And he's like, we just had our liquor license renewed. So they're in like this period where apparently they kind of just sell everything. I don't know. I've never heard of this. But maybe they lost their liquor license or they had a delay or hang up and they weren't able to order anything. And then in comes the holidays, everybody sells everything out, and I go in there after, and I'm like, hey, the hell's all your drinks? So luckily, we weren't doing anything crazy, or I'd have to go even further. So this was the only thing I got. It was Shipyard. I'm a fan of Shipyard, so that's what I went with. Doug, what did you went with?
What I went with?
Yeah.
You heard the man. Well,
it's past tense. Past perfect. It's because we're telling a story.
What? Okay. I went, ended up getting 2 singles. Actually, I got 2 of the first. Victory Brewing Company, the Old Horizontal. And I also picked up a single of the Brooklyn Brewing Monster Ale, which is a barley wine style ale.
Brooklyn Brewing, huh? Yep. The Monster Ale. If you read this month's Playboy, they have an entire write-up about Brooklyn Brewing. So you want to...
We might also have a write-up about the Old Horizontal, too.
Oh. Well,
not talking beer here, folks.
This is true. They're all young horizontals.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right?
I know what I mean.
Yeah. Well,
get your old horizontal.
I think it's got yet another edition with Carmen Electra in it, so yeah, probably. But they had an entire... It was a pretty neat story about Brooklyn Brewing Company and all the stuff they went through and some of the mob deals they had to get around, and it's a pretty neat story.
I'm kind of afraid to Google that. Brooklyn Brewing Playboy. It's been like a reasonably good thing.
There, look, I read it for the articles. So,
apparently.
And I read the article. So that's why I was sourcing a good article that it has Monster Ale in it, but really is a good core history of Brooklyn Brewing. And then they go through a little history that we've pretty much covered through the show. So it'll all sound familiar from that, I think. Luke, what are you drinking for the crazy ass drinks tonight?
Well, the first one that I'm doing is the Norwegian one. And so I'm going to completely butcher the pronunciation of everything, but I believe it's pronounced Nogne O as the company. I'm assuming they don't really have anything other than the big O with a line through it on the front.
That's kind of weird.
The name of the drink is the Antrimnir Barley Wine Ale.
You got the Barley Wine Ale one. That's not pretty good.
Yep.
I don't really speak Norwegian, so I'm going to go with that was perfect. I give you $10. Virtual money.
Hooray.
Straight to your PayPal.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to go to Norwegia for that?
You know, we took a day trip, and it was a lot of fun. And whereas you can make a big, long story about going to a local place, I'm just going to say, no, we went to Norway, and that's my story.
All right.
No one's going to dispute it.
Nope. Yeah, I can't exactly. I'm not going to look for your plane tickets.
No one's going to dispute my pronunciation. Nobody's going to dispute my day trip.
This is true. And for a day trip would be interesting.
Hey, yeah. Do I sound louder now?
You sound pretty good. Why?
Because I discovered that there's like a little volume adjuster thing built into the line of the headset.
Wow, that's funny that you found that little block that's hanging off the wire near your head now. Weird place for it. It's like, I got new drivers. What else? I can reboot Windows. Oh, look at this. Yeah, great.
Hey, what's this System 32 thing?
See, you can delete that.
Put awesome. That in the recycle bin.
Yeah, that always goes right to the recycle bin.
That's what I've heard.
I have 32 more of them, so whatever.
Obviously. This is started out one, maybe zero.
32? Who needs a 32nd one?
Right.
Give me System 1.
I want System 0. It's the better one. Hey, Luke.
Anyway. Yes.
You have another drink?
I do have another drink.
You got Jack and Diane?
Is the Sierra Nevada Jack and Ken's Ale.
Jack and Ken.
Yes.
And that's a barley wine, or is it just something intense that's going to blow your face off?
It is a barley wine, yes.
Oh. They didn't
call it. It has a champagne-like cork top, so at some point you'll hear the signature. Ooh.
You know what that means?
No.
That means you went all high-end. That's the stuff. You need to suit up, dude. You need to get out there.
This
like,
isn't not. Yeah. This isn't a video chat.
This is true. You're in your suit, just getting off the plane from Norwegia, and you're having a good time drinking your Jack and Ken's ale. Who you got directly from Ken.
Yeah.
When Jack wasn't looking. See, there's a story right there. Backstory.
I don't think I like where my story is going.
Well, let's pretend they're not having an affair in Norwegia.
Exactly. I've been in Norwegia. It's awesome there. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Did you go to Norwegia for yours?
Well, yes, but it was an import over there, so I don't know.
Oh, so you paid more?
I paid more to bring it back.
In euro.
Made here, so, yeah.
And they don't have euros in Norwegia, I don't think, but, you know.
Didn't John Cougar Mellencamp have a song about Jack and Ken?
His ale, yeah.
Mostly awesome. Just the ale.
Yeah. It's really, he had too much of the ale. That's what really happened. That's this backstory for that one, too. There's two. Okay. It's a plot. It's a sub-twist. So,
a sub-twist.
I'm quickly realizing that if I want to read this article about Brooklyn Brewery, that I actually have to go to the Playboy website or go buy a Playboy.
I would just buy it.
For the articles.
For the articles.
Yeah.
But, and you can tell the guy where you buy it from. Like, dude, really, there's an article on Brooklyn Brewery.
Look, I can tell you right now, page 152 is the continuation after the header, which is like in the 50s. Actually, it's 151. I remembered that because I was like, 151. Oh, it's like the rum. Because it always says continue on page. You know, then you got to skip over the calendar girl and all that stuff. Then you get to the real meat of the story.
Skip over all that uninteresting stuff.
Right.
And right back into the text.
Exactly.
Got it.
So what are you drinking?
I have a Third Coast Ale, old ale from Bell's Brewery over in Michigan. So this is an example of an American barley wine. I would, so they say. My take on it is that it's more of an example of an English barley wine, but whatever.
It's an English barley wine made in America using Americans. Thus, well, not in the wine itself, but thus, it is an American barley wine.
Apparently. But American barley wines usually are just really, really hoppy, and this was just malt bomb, so I would say English, but whatever.
Okay. Okay, well, that segues into what we're looking at here. And the barley wine from some of the R&D that I was doing ahead of time, besides the fact that I kind of knew where it was and what it was doing. And the only barley wine personally I've ever had in the past has always been homebrew barley wine, because apparently people make that just to really throw you off.
It's hard to make.
I don't really know how much. It's probably very expensive to make as well.
Well, I was looking at it today. I was like, oh, what do I have to do to make this? And, you know, normal ingredients, but you have to let it ferment for like 9 months.
That's a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just, you invest a lot of time into that, and you hope you have something at the end of that time.
That's true. You could wait 9 months for the worst stuff you've ever had, and then it's going to take you another 9 months to perfect it.
Yeah.
Or at least get it leveled.
Screw that up. Let's try it again.
Yep, next year. By the time you're 78, you will have the perfect barley wine. But apparently this is it's a recipe or a style originally developed in England, and the first official marketed barley wine was Bass No. 1 Ale around the 1900s. So that's a little bit a long time ago. Bass, of course. Also interesting to note, if you read the Playboy article, you know this too, that Bass owns the very first trademark logo in history. That little red triangle back in 1876. Oh, nice. They were the first ones to have a trademark. And of course,
the Hobbits developed barley wine.
No. Well, developing it as a Hobbit and actually trademarking it, two separate things, which is, again, why Leuenbrau, which has been around since the 1300s, and Stella, both have had logos that haven't really changed since the 1800s, or 1300s, sorry, but they didn't have them actually trademarked, copywritten, or whatever, so they don't count in the history subnote. So, there you go. You could do whatever you want. It's a trivia question. Ask your friends, what was the first trademarked logo? It was trademarked in the UK, of course, first.
Of course.
Yeah. So we're talking about a brew that could be considered a wine when it comes to its alcohols by volume, which is 8 to 12% typically. But barley wine is in fact beer. It's made from grain, not fruit, and thus it's considered a beer. But it's got the wine in the name, I think, to give us a clue about how competitive the ABV is going to be against a wine. Now, I've had wines that have been higher than 12%, but really once you go to 14s, I think that's usually the cutoff point for where most people think a good wine sits. So this kind of falls between a light white wine and a medium, you know, maybe a high-end white or medium red. So it's got that intensity there. But with wine, you've got that sweet fruitiness. So I think if you have a nice fruity attack, right, like right off the front, then you don't notice a lot of this alcohol taste. I don't know what we're going to get with the barley wines, because you might get some bitterness, or maybe you get some fruitiness or some maltiness, as you said, the bomb. So I don't, you know, it all depends. And barley wine is a darker amber to reddish brown color. There's really no historical differences between a barley wine and an old ale, also known as a winter warmer, which I think we've done in the past as a show. We've done winter ales and winter warmers, which is basically a way of saying, hey, it's cold out. Drink something with a lot of alcohol so you feel like you're not dying, you know? I don't know.
I like that feeling. Not dying
feeling.
Not dying is good.
When I shop for beer, I shop for beer that gives me that not dying feeling.
Are you having a not dying feeling? Yes. You must be drinking barley wine. Now, I don't know.
That's a catchphrase if I ever heard one.
We can find a place to use that. Mine is 8.5% alcohol, so mine lands right where I guess it's supposed to be. I don't know the IBUs of mine, but I bet you I can go Google it. But if you're looking for IBUs, apparently from some of the stuff I was looking at, 50 to 100 IBUs, so that's your bitterness unit, is going to be sort of where this is probably going to fall. I found some people who said 30 to 100, but Keynote is 100, and then something higher than zero. So we're not talking about like a light pilsner here. We're talking about something that's going to get right up in your grill and just tear out your teeth.
It's fantastic.
Yes. So it might be a little more bitter. I don't really know. It might not. Americanized, everything is bitter. Apparently, barley wine also uses more grains than an average beer, like 2 times the amount. That might also make it take longer. It's got to have a longer boil, so it caramelizes some of those sugars, giving you that nice deep color and that rich flavor. And on about.com, they had a good quote, which I thought would lead us right into some of these reviews, and that is, barley wine is another example of an extreme drift of a style in American from its English roots. British barley wines are very malty with notes of alcohol and but not overwhelming native hops for balance. American versions are just as big in malt flavors and alcohol, but there's also a monstrous serving of citrusy American hops. So the overwhelming impression is a very bitter hoppiness, especially in the younger brews. So I think an American, which is what I think Shipyard's considered, right? Is Shipyard's American, isn't it? Let's see. Shipyard Brewing Company, blah, blah, blah. Some guy, Pugsley, which is a funny name. I don't know. Brewing and Shipyard Brewing Company, Portland, Maine, right? So they're in Maine. So that's American.
American.
So I think out of all the things that we have, the ones that should be most bitter should be the Sierra Nevada. I don't know. Doug's, is Victory around here? It sounds familiar.
Yes.
And Brooklyn, obviously. So
yeah, Victory is Pennsylvania.
So I think most out of all of these, the Norwegian and Mike should be the least, but I don't know.
I believe the Brooklyn Monster is an English style barley wine.
Okay.
I'll confirm that.
But Mike's is not. So Mike, did you want to suck yours down and tell me what you thought of the brew?
Yeah, suck it down. Pound it.
Pound it.
Wait, my cold's probably not helping any of this.
That's fine. But no, so, see, this is better because it's so potent it should cut right through the cold.
I could see that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Unless it is actually bitter and or has a lot of hops in it, I'm sure at that point I'm just not going to notice any of that.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be why I think it's an English barley wine and not an American barley wine, because you just can't sense any of the hops in it.
It's very subtle and smooth. The next person has got an IBU of 100.
Well, I think it says it's like 10.2% ABV, so just wonderfully alcoholic. I've never had a Third Coast ale before. It's nice to finally get it in Iowa. I mean, after our laws changed last spring, we didn't have Third Coast ale last year.
Wait, what? Your laws?
Yeah, in Iowa, I think we talked about this before. Iowa's alcohol laws didn't allow beers over 6% in the state. So this is actually finally being brought in from the breweries that produce, you know, more interesting styles of beer. So this is kind of the first time I've had it available here and probably rather fresh.
Right.
Speaking of which, I've got another bottle of it from last year that I bought, I think in Minnesota. So that's got a nice year of aging on it. I'm going to try that later too.
So that in it is, you're going to, wait, you're going to try it with your cold?
No, later isn't after the cold.
Oh, I was going to say. Because what you're going to do is you're going to be like, this is exhaust, and then you're going to remember it. And then like 15 years, you're going to recommend it to somebody and they're going to be like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
That could happen. That probably happens here anyway.
See?
Holy, I don't know. It's like I said earlier, I mean, this thing is just a malt bomb, but at 10% ABV, you should sense a little bit of alcohol, and I don't think you're going to until you're done with the glass, and then you're slurring your words. That's
there's probably some truth behind that, because that the malts are probably going to, I mean, if they're nice and tasty, you might not even notice.
Oh, yeah. It hides it well, I will say.
Yeah. It does.
I wonder if they're doing that on purpose, like trying to overdo it to hide that specific problem.
I don't know. I mean, it's such an old style that it just kind of came about because of the conditions that it was brewed in. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of thought going into it.
I don't know, man. Bell's Brewery might be like, dude, we got to create something. Oh, and then they probably taste it. Was like, dude, there's more alcohol in here than I know what to do with. This is like vodka. And they're like, all right, well, let's throw some malts in there. Done.
I've told Luke this story before. Have you guys ever had Russian Imperial Stouts?
Russian?
Yes.
I mean, just
as a matter of fact, I think we should do one of those.
Well, so here's my thing, and I created this at a beer festival last fall. You take a glass, you fill it halfway with Russian Imperial Stout, and then you fill the other half with a barley wine. And I call it a Barrel's Darkly, and it will just mess you up.
So but is that
it's
like
so delicious?
That's like a Charles
Barkley. That actually
Barkley.
Sounds like the most wicked black and tan of all time.
It's fantastic.
But do you die afterwards?
You don't remember afterwards.
Oh, well, then how would you... Everybody, you know what? It's probably the worst thing anybody's ever had, but they never remember it. So they're like, this is going to be awesome. And nobody remembers because they all just...
Oh, no, I remember it being delicious. It's just...
You don't remember
you
what happened
have
after.
A little bit of it. Once you finish the glass, you're in trouble.
So you were sort of like... This is smooth and delicious, and then you blinked your eyes and your pants were missing and your underwear at your ankles, and you were like, what the hell just happened? And it's like six days went by.
Well, no, it involved a cowboy hat and a little toy horse. But...
Nice! Now there are some IBUs.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I didn't.
Oh, so you... That's awesome.
I've never heard a story where like drinking led to a Toy Story reenactment. That sounds awesome.
Because all I ever hear is
who was Mr. Potato Head? Luke.
No. I was not there.
He wasn't even there. He just
I saw the photo.
Somebody else posted a picture of it to Twitter, and he saw it. Yep. And
Twitter.
It
will get you in trouble.
And hilarity ensued. Yeah. Do you by chance recall which beers you mixed with regard to the barley wine and the Imperial Stout?
Yeah, these two at that point in time were both Schlafly Brewing out of Missouri, St. Louis, I believe. Yeah. So I have one of them now still, but both from Schlafly, which they usually make tremendous beers anyway.
I don't know if I can get those here. I will look for it.
So if you get, you can't even really do a black and tan as traditional because the stuff's got too much alcohol, right? It's gonna be a tan and black. I mean, could you float Bass on top of this?
I don't know. I've never done anything like that.
Well, in theory, considering that you can float Guinness on top of Bass, right?
Yeah.
Bass has less gravity than a barley wine.
Therefore, it does.
Or the barley wine should be thicker.
So it should be at the bottom.
Right.
Which would be wicked cool.
Right.
Except people who, I mean, I'll give you an example. I'll go through and I'll say what mine tastes like, because the first thing I thought of was a Guinness with the Pugsley Signature Series. It has the head. It's not as chocolatey like, you know, like the Guinness when you pour it, the head's kind of a brown head. This is like really ultra tiny bubbles like you get out of that, but it thins out a little bit and it's more white in color. But we're talking black, like brown. I guess it's so brown it's black, because near the bottom where my cup, I'm using a Stella glass, where the glass kind of tapers down, it's got a little brown to it. But this is super dark, and it looks like a Guinness. I think it even smells like a Guinness. Like, it's got the same malty, bomb-like, chocolatey almost, something, coffee. I don't know. I don't have a Guinness here. I should get some Guinness. Tasty. But it's just got that, like, all the same properties. So I think you can maybe, if it's somebody like who likes Guinness but doesn't drink it religiously, pass it off to them before they take a sip and be like, oh, that's a Guinness. And then they take the sip. It's the exact opposite of Guinness. It's 8%, right? It's got bitterness to it. It was really kind of tasty. It's thick, but the finish is where the bite comes in. It's still got that nice creamy flow to it, though. It's the hops, they're not as bad as some American IPAs, or like we just got in last week, Flying Dog sent us their, I think it's called Bitch. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, Flying Dog. Actually, I know they had a barley wine. I was going to get it.
The barley wine is...
Raging Bitch is what I was thinking of.
Horny Dog?
Horny Dog, there you go. Yeah. Well, I got...
That's actually really good.
See, they sent us Raging Bitch, which I don't know. I think it's new. It's an India Pale Ale. And for Christmas morning, we opened it. Go figure. And so it's got a lot of hops to it, more than this. Like, this is supposed to knock you on your ass. I think this is really tasty. I've had some homemade barley wines that are more aligned with that of sand. Like, just have that gritty, hurt you, dry finish taste. This doesn't really have that same, that it's a little dry, but it's not, it's more like a thick, savory, creamy drink that has hops in it and malts. Very well balanced, I think. So if you needed to get a barley wine where you want something that's going to be pretty intense, but it's not going to rip your teeth out and shove them down your throat, I think that the Shipyard might be able to do that, because my teeth are still here and they're very happy. And I was completely expecting to be, this was more of a comical episode where everybody's just going to ditch on it and say, this is the most disgusting thing we've ever had to drink ever. I'm not getting that here, man. Have you ever had the Shipyard, Doug?
I don't think so. Not that one.
Do you guys have Shipyard out in the Boons?
Iowa.
Iowa.
Wait, that's kind of boring. I was going to say, are you talking to me? What are you talking
to? No, but they're in Iowa.
Iowa, isn't there? Like, right nearby us?
Maybe.
Yeah,
food Iowa?
I'm kidding. Boone.
Oh, Boone, yeah. Yeah,
Boone. Yeah, there's,
it lives up so to its name.
What?
Boone, North Carolina, too.
Really? Yeah, but North Carolina, depending, I guess Boone could be depending on where you live, but you're like in the city. Doesn't really count.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, well, I'm...
No, it's not. Yeah, it would not count as the Boondocks.
Where if you lived in Manchester, New Hampshire, you're still in the Boons. You just live in a city that's been industrial, has passed this industrial revolution, and you probably live in a brick house, or brick facility that's been turned into many houses. But you're still kind of out there, right? You're not near anything important, which is what I think of when I hear Iowa.
Like New Hampshire's only airport?
Exactly. It's not even international. The best the airport could do is get you to Pennsylvania, Chicago, or Newark. Other than that, you're fucked.
I can fly from Raleigh to Manchester.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You guys have a good drink.
It is. I flew to Norway and back in one day.
Which is very tough to do.
Hilarious.
Because I've flown to Germany and I can never get there in one day. Like, I always have to do it 2 days in advance before I go to any customer sites, because it takes me so long to get there. The fact that you got there, you must have been using one of those Concorde things.
I did use the Concorde.
See? No, actually, they're decommissioned.
Shh. You're ruining it.
Yeah.
You're ruining the backstory.
We had one left.
We did, actually.
Iowa had one. We're very popular.
It was actually on some guy's cornfield.
It was fueled by ethanol.
Yes, because that would be the most logical thing to go with their Snicker salad.
Yes.
That was a concrete call, Snicker salad. So, who's up? Let's see. You want, hey, I think, wait, Luke has two. So, Luke, do you want to do the more of an American thing, or you want to go to Norwegia?
Well, I've been drinking the Norwegian one, okay. So we'll start with that. Otherwise, if you want, I can make up something about the Sierra Nevada, and we'll see how accurate I am later.
You
can do that, too. But
okay, well, I won't.
The Norwegian one would be a good start.
Well, I was telling Mike earlier, I feel like I've had this before. It tastes a lot like something else, but I'm not really sure what. Would you say it's similar to a brown ale, maybe, Mike?
Which one?
Norwegian.
The Norwegian one.
The Norwegian one? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, just a little more bitter, though, but...
So you got the malt still playing in there?
Yeah.
Like...
Hugely on the malt. I mean, that's... Yeah. For me, that's the big attractive feature of these barley wines is a big, rich malt body, and you know the hops I could care less about. But
okay, but you can get malts in a lot of different ways, right? You can get a Colt 45, or you can get a brown ale, right? Obviously, two separate spectrums, which I did on purpose. But the key there is one's got the high alcohol for low money, the other one's kind of in the middle, the brown ale, which could be very tasty. And have that same malt value. Why would you ever go towards a barley wine over, say, a brown ale?
It's even richer.
Yeah.
It's
better. I don't know. It could depend on price or something like that.
I've never seen a barley wine that was cheap.
Well, brown ale is typically a session beer. You're not going to have more than one barley wine in an evening.
Okay, so...
Apparently that's not true, because I'm going to...
I wouldn't recommend having many more than one bar than one in an evening.
Well, yeah. Depending on how big of a bottle it is.
I'm going to have three.
Well, you've got one. You have a 22-ounce sitting there, Luke? Or is that a 750?
Let's see. The Norwegian one is... If I can find it somewhere.
Like, mine was a 12-ounce bottle, somewhere. So, I mean, that's fine. It's one.
It's a half a liter.
Yeah, you've got a few.
And the Sierra Nevada is...
Oh, it's just a half a liter, no big deal.
Half a liter.
9.4.
Hold on. I can do a conversion on that. Give me a couple minutes in Google.
What does this mean? I don't know.
That converts to drunk Luke. That's what that converts to.
It's 16.907011 US fluid ounces.
I have a 1 PT 9.4 fluid ounces. I don't know if that's together or two different ways of measuring.
I think it's two different ways. Wait, 9.4 fluid ounces and a pint?
I don't know. It's more than a pint, that's for sure.
U.S. pint is 16 fluid ounces. This is the same. A liter, a half a liter, and a pint is the same thing.
Sure.
So you have...
16.9 ounces.
Yeah, so what you have is a big gulp, right? You've got...
No, the big gulp is like 48 ounces.
Okay, so that's
a ridiculous number.
You're pretty close to a big gulp, and that's just in about 12% alcohol.
Sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
Okay, but point made, right? If you're gonna be drinking a lot, and you're gonna, let's say, a football game goes on for what, 3 hours, say average, if you are pounding through the barley wines, if that's
right, there's no pounding through this. Just so you know. Oh.
So is it really heavy? Like, can you not? How hard is it to drink? I'm going to call it the Norwegian ale because I can't pronounce the rest of it. Is it really thick, like heavy, where you drink it and you're like, I'm going to take a breather?
Yeah, if I swish it around in the glass, it definitely is a film that's very slowly receding. And in my still fairly limited palate and still trying to get into different types, it's a little more like a stout where I'll have to slowly drink it. And the more I drink it, the more bitter it gets. Still good, but
that's true.
Not an easy finish.
I think that's the I do get the, and I have that with a lot of bitter, hoppier beers where it seems that the more your body is adapting to that sweetness, the bitter, it's just, you can't adapt to it. It's always there.
Yep.
And the more you drink, the more that like residual aftertaste of bitterness sits on your tongue, and it never goes away. So then you take another sip, and it's like layered on top. So it's like you got a pound of this bitter stuff sitting on your tongue, and you got 32 ounces. It's going to take you a while. Or it's not, and you're going to pass out and forget the whole experience.
Who wants to bet on that one?
Oh.
What, you don't
against me.
You don't trust that he can finish off 32 ounces of barley wine in one night and not wake up fine?
Luke, do you work tomorrow?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
I thought you didn't work tomorrow.
No, I do.
Oh. Oh, that was me.
Oh, wait. That was me. Sorry.
And Doug. Doug, so, okay, then, based on that, you're saying that the Norwegian's good, heavy, but in the bitterness makes it so it slows you down, so you're not going to consume too fast. So, probably bad for a football game. 3 hours of drinking, you're finish a bottle. Like one. And it would be very sipped slowly. Now, Doug, what do you have open right now?
Currently rocking the Victory Old Horizontal.
That's a funny name.
The old horizontal.
I remember
and
her.
And it's funny. It's like the label has it looks like half moon with a smile lying on its back with a little nighty cap.
Oh, I get it now. It's like, this is going to knock you on your ass.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going for, which in my opinion is not necessarily the soundest marketing strategy, but you know.
No, well, you know why? Because if that were to be a drink towards, say, the 21 demographic, okay, it would make sense, but it would probably need to have like a lot more glitz and glamour to it. A barley wine, I don't think, is ever really something that somebody in their low 20s has ever experienced or would look at it and go, dude, this is going to get us wrecked. Let's buy this for the fucking, you know, and go, we'll go to the party with the handles, right? It's just, this is not the thing you do.
Right? You don't.
I do that every weekend.
Right. It's like, after this, we're going to chase it with Bernjager.
Right? Sometimes on Wednesdays, sometimes on Thursdays, and most Fridays.
Yeah, dude. Like, you put this in one of those. You got to put this in one of those big Oktoberfest glasses and just freaking carry it around like a god.
I would.
I bought my father one for Christmas. So I got him Das Boot as well, so he's got a big glass boot. He's got he's got it all. A liter worth of beer. So how is the Victory Brewing Company?
Actually, it's really good. The ABV is 11%, and it's actually disguised awfully well in as much that malty.
Oh, is it malty?
Yeah, it is malty. But the first thing that you get isn't the malt. The first thing that you really get is like a nice floral citrusy taste from the hops. Yeah, so I'm thinking that.
So that's like the citrus American hops that was in this other thing.
And it's really dominated by that. Like the malt is actually really subtle, which is pretty amazing for something that's 11%. The color is absolutely beautiful. It's a nice deep orange red. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. I love that.
It is gorgeous.
Gorgeous and old and lying horizontal.
And I think this is probably more the result of my pouring job, but it didn't have much of any head.
Really?
But I think it was more of how I poured it versus any potential head that it could have.
See, mine didn't have any real citrus to it. And I didn't get any head either.
Well,
I just want to say it that way because I did have a little head. Just a little bit. But still,
just, you know,
just dip.
Hooray for metaphor.
Just kiss it.
That's right. So, but mine didn't have the orange to it to kiss.
Would you like to kiss the head?
Right?
Of my beer.
See, you got to always end it with of my beer. Euphemism. But I don't get that. I get really more of a coffee than any type of citrus flavor. So. But mine both of ours are
right. Aren't you rocking the, I'm sorry, do you have an English style?
You know what? I don't really know. It just says I didn't read that much. There's a story, right?
Google it.
No, I mean, it's right. I don't have to Google it. It's in the bottle. I just don't read that far. I read where it said 8.5% and I stopped. Okay, so mine was called the Pugsley's Signature Series. And Pugsley is apparently a guy and he's from England. So based on that, and he had a ringworm. Oh, wait, no. World's famous Ringwood Brewery. Never mind. I read too far into that. Full hops, Summit, Challenger, Fuggles. Ooh, it's got Fuggles. Deep reddish brown color.
Fugles.
Fugles? Really? Fugle. It doesn't sound nearly as funny as Fuggles. Okay, Fugles. It says it has a complex fruity nose. Lies. A very full body, I'll believe that. Interesting balance between grains and hops, which ends in pleasantly dry taste, which I thought a little bit. But no, I think because the guy is from England, based even just on the name Pugsley, right? Nobody in this country would ever bring that name over here. So I guess it's probably an English style because it's from the guy and he's from England. So I guess that would do it. Even though it is shipyard and it is in the U.S., brewers like to go back to heritage. Now, Victory probably did the same style of thing, but brought a little American to it. Because you said it's still got a lot of hops to it. I mean, a lot of malts to it. It's not over-hopped, right?
No. And you see, that's the thing. And the reason that I will say that it's not over-hopped is it doesn't overwhelm the beer. It just doesn't overwhelm the beer. It balances it appropriately.
So it does a pretty good job. So does that mean you could sit down and pound it, or is it still something you feel that, granted, you know the ABV?
You want me to try?
Well, I mean, do you want to finish the show and be alive for it? Yeah, I mean, there's that. But it's a high percent alcohol. But on the other hand, if you didn't know the alcohol or the ABV at all, would you be able to drink it faster without the respect for what it should probably have?
No, I don't know.
It's still pretty intense.
Yeah, it's not something that you'd be like, oh yeah, man, I can shotgun that.
Pop. All right, here we go. First off, it doesn't come in a can, and if you can shotgun a bottle, I want to see that happen.
Well, awesome. the first trick to shotgunning a bottle is you need to have a very specialized bit that will drill through glass without shattering it.
Not to mention,
it's really all about the angle. It's somewhere between 37 and 39 degrees.
Luke, did you open the Sierra Nevada? I heard it pop.
I did. How was that?
That was pretty neat. It's like champagne.
Half a liter.
It's the champagne of Jack and Ken's ale.
And once you open up the half a liter, you can't close it again, so you've got to finish it.
Yeah, it's going to be regrettable, I think.
What you can't see is Luke's lying on the floor right now, holding the microphone over his head, trying to keep his eyes away.
In sheer desperation.
Awesome. That could be a cartoon right there.
I have something to say about this beer.
Stimpy. So the Sierra Nevada. Now I like what's the good Sierra Nevada? Is it not Celebration, right?
Torpedo is fantastic.
Torpedo.
Yeah, Torpedo is good.
I don't think I've had Torpedo. What is that?
It'll change your life.
It's their IPA.
Really?
Oh, interested.
Yeah.
What's the green bottle? Pale ale.
Their pale ale is pretty much ubiquitous at this point.
Right. That's what they're known for.
Torpedo is like even better.
Really. I'll see if I could find Sierra Nevada. A lot of the times you could find one or two, and then there's oftentimes like another one there that randomly changes. I don't know if Sierra's just like, hey, we got a deal on some crazy ass named alcohol. You want to buy it? And then they ship it around. Like, I don't know how you get some of those more specialized Torpedo. We get Harpoon and a lot of the different Harpoon stuff, which makes sense because I think it's kind of, they got a brewery around here. But we don't have a Sierra Nevada around here, so it would probably be closer to Nevada or the Sierras.
Well, we're the West Coast, so.
Yeah, so you kind of, I think, to get some of that, I don't know how many of the cool ones come out here. Now, they made it to Iowa, so they're probably here someplace.
Because, let's be honest, in the list of places we need to get to expand our market, I was at the bottom.
maybe it's not now, because you've got the ABV
rule.
If you're
prioritizing your list of customers, Iowa, you're 50, maybe 51. Puerto Rico is probably higher.
Right. In Alaska, because let's face it, they need something to keep themselves warm. But Boston, New York, maybe Raleigh, probably Miami, you know, Texas, some of the big cities, Austin and stuff like that. I can see a lot of those kind of being the place to hit this up. But if you can get it, I'm thinking maybe we should be able to get it up in the Boones over here in New Hampshire. So what do you think of the Sierra Nevada Jack and Ken's Ale? Does it live up to his name?
Absolutely, I guess, yeah.
He's drunk.
No, I just don't know what that means.
I don't really either. I mean,
30th anniversary, it tastes 30 years old, maybe?
It's their 30th anniversary. Sierra Nevada has a big name. They put Jack and Ken in there, and I'm guessing on the back is a story to why there would be called it's Jack and Ken's. It's arbitrary. It could be Bill and Frank. All right.
It's actually on the front.
Is the picture of Jack and Ken on the front?
No. It's a picture of a quiet, pleasant stream.
What the hell? Moon falling over, sleeping. I can understand. A pleasant stream? Yeah,
the story about Jack and Ken is on the front of the bottle.
Do they do anything funny? Okay. Is Jack a guy and is Ken a guy?
No, you're asking the wrong person here.
Oh. It doesn't say his, her. It doesn't have pronouns in there?
What's a pronoun?
How's it taste? I guess it's...
Well, it tastes very similar to the other one.
Oh, really?
Stop it, Doug. I'm trying to focus.
No, I was giving you a couple examples of pronouns.
Of grandma.
I'm not going to remember.
You don't have to.
Me fail English, that's impossible. This one tastes similar to the other one, but it's more bitter. I think it's more of a balance of the hops and the malts.
It's almost metallic.
It's almost metallic.
Whoa.
Mike says.
Like you licked some metal? Probably not like that, though, huh?
Bad analogy. Not unlike that.
No, more like shaved pieces in there, yeah, that split your colon. But, like, so you get a... Do you think it's better or worse because you got the little more bitter in there? But you already said the other one had the bitters at the end that was harder to finish. Is this going to be even more difficult?
I mean, when I said at the end, I was referring to like the more drinks you have, not necessarily the aftertaste kind of thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Whereas this one is more bitter just right from the beginning. Of course, that also could be a function of the fact that I've had, you know, a bunch before.
Well, how do you have a? I mean, how many do you buy?
I just bought two.
And it's a bunch, meaning you've been drinking it and it's half gone?
The Norwegian one, I have a little bit left.
Oh.
The Sierra Nevada just started.
Okay, so you started the Norwegian one when...
Stop it.
Was that the wiki left for pronouns?
Damn it.
There.
That's not going to help.
You can learn.
It might, because it's in linguistics, in grammar, a pronoun is a pro form that substitutes for a noun. Like I, you, he, it, or who.
No, she. She doesn't anyway, count.
Yeah, she counts too.
Oh.
That's what she does. Said.
Yeah, that's what she said, not what Jack anyway. Said. You started the Norwegian... beer, say, around the time the show started?
Well, we had a beer over dinner, but...
Yeah, but that doesn't count. You didn't get arrested, so you're okay.
Yeah. Because nothing says having a dinner with beer like, or having dinner with a beer like getting arrested.
Beer in a movie? No, beer in prison.
Sounds like a quality Sunday evening to me.
Yeah. Okay, but so you had a beer, and now you've finished off, what, a pint of, what was the last one for alcohol? Like
this one was a half a pint.
Half a pint of?
Or No. Half a liter.
Half a liter or one whole pint. Sure. Conversion for the win. What was the Norwegian's ABV?
That was it. Or the ABV, that's 10%.
Okay, yeah.
This
so
one is a 10.2.
Yeah, so you're staking, that's pretty high, buddy. So
yeah. That, well, you know.
Yeah, that's a good bit of alcohol there. So you've had two beers and both of them kind of had the same flavor. One's got a little more bitterness.
Yep.
Which one do you like better?
Oh, boy.
See, it's going to be hard to tell because you finished the other one and now you're drunk. So you're drinking the other one. You're like, this is pretty good. Right?
I haven't finished the other one. I just knew that it was coming up to be my turn again. So I bust back into it.
No. So now you're sucking on both.
I'm going to try the
double fisting
again.
You're fisting both. Yeah, I get it.
I think I like the Sierra Nevada better.
Really?
Because
you haven't figured it out yet. You like the metal. You're more into metal.
No, I guess I just don't. Wow, I'm not really sure.
Did I really get you?
It's just, I don't know. I just prefer the flavor better. The Norwegian one is closer to a brown ale for me, which I do like brown ales, but the Sierra Nevada is more toward the, I mean, if I had to make a comparison, it's closer to an IPA, and I've been really big into IPAs lately.
That's weird. But then again, you're kind of growing your wings in the beer a little. You're a late bloomer, right?
Oh, yes.
So you're going through the same phases that probably a lot of us went through. Like, I did a lot more IPAs when I was a little younger, and I don't really know why. I don't think I was out going, I'm going to buy an IPA. But when I was, you know, in college, it was like, I got a label, and if I liked the taste, I drank it. It just turned out to be a lot of the times an IPA or brown ale. And I don't really know how that is, because brown ales I didn't really consider being prevalent, but they were there. And for whatever
prevalent
reason. Prevalent. I like it. I'm going to go that one.
I like it. Ding. That's a good word.
Like,
yeah, I use it.
What's the castle one there? The castle name. Come on, Doug. Castle.
Yeah, send him a link castle on how to use that word.
Yes, it's got a brown ale. It's got castle in the name. Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Oh, Newcastle is awful.
Okay. My bad. Maybe it's just in Iowa, but it was pretty good here. No, I think we've had this conversation before. Like, but
we've had it
multiple times. But like Newcastle, and there was another brown ale, and there's a brown dog ale, and there's other ones that were like that. And I've kind of ended up with those. I don't know why, but that must mean I liked brown ales and I liked IPAs. Now I'm kind of going more towards the more malty beers. I don't really know why, though. And I like this one, but it's got the hops in it, which is weird, because you're now saying that the hoppiness, which I thought would turn you off, or at least most people, because let's face it, Americans don't really know what a hop is around here. They think they can smoke it in a dime bag, and it's not necessarily true, although it is the same family of herb. But what I'm saying is that we tend to be more pilsners, lights, you know, quick drinking. Maybe that's changing, and you're starting the revolution. Maybe not starting, but you're in there someplace. You're a number, Luke.
Is it going to be televised?
Yes. Okay. But Luke likes hops at least a little bit, and that's a good reason to like Sierra Nevada. Maybe a little more American style. I don't really know. Not enough citrus. Doug, what is this Brooklyn Brewing Monster Ale you got?
Actually, I haven't cracked it open yet.
How did that happen?
What have you been drinking?
Yeah.
The
Horizontal. That's right.
Yeah.
What else do you have? You must have you always have one other beer over there. Like the secrets. What's in Doug's box? You know, what's that beer?
Not a head.
So you don't have a third beer?
Not Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
So what you're saying is you only have two beers tonight?
I only have two beers.
What the hell? You always have a chaser. Like, while we're talking, I'm drinking this beer, but this is what we're really talking about, you know? You didn't do that this time.
So confused.
He carries a Red Hook with him, like, you know, or something crazy.
It's got a holster. It's
like, Doug, what do you got? I got a Red Hook right here. Or something. Like, you always have, like, that third beer. You're like, oh, I'm sucking on this, but, you know, here's what we're doing for show. I'm just saying.
No, actually, you're correct. I that is how I normally roll. It's just I'm trying to be good.
Oh, because it's intense beers. I can appreciate that.
Technically, because in the event you drink three of these, you're really drinking like six.
This is true, and you're doing it in half the time.
Right. Anyway, so no, it's not like, oh yeah, I have, you know, whatever normal ABV beer that we're drinking. Yeah, and I also have a bottle of Baron Jaeger and, you know, three prostitutes hanging out because, you know, that'll just round out the scene.
Wait, what are you doing now? Well, right now, a prostitute. But I'll get back to you in a minute. You know, I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
And
you just get the Brooklyn Brewing Monster Ale. Did you open it yet?
Yeah. No.
Oh, it was the prostitutes were interrupting him.
Dang it. All right. Hold on. Let me go get it. I'll be right back.
All right. See, look at this. He's not even prepared.
I am.
What are we doing on this show? What's this show talking about? Cars?
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the new 911 Turbo. That's great. You can go get it, Doug. We won't make fun of you while you're gone.
Yeah, you will.
Too late.
No, Luke, wait. What are you holding?
What? No.
What is that?
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is
like a dragon Buddha.
I thought it was a big poop dressed up like Christmas.
No, that's one of the Japanese
Japanese or Chinese
old dog ugly thing. Prostitute.
You paid for that?
Oh my God, man. I hope she paid you.
So it was my friend Christopher's 30th birthday, and we went out to a couple bars, and one of the bars that we went to was in the lobby of a hotel, and we were sitting down. I look over and I see this old dog thing, and I say, Christopher, by the end of the night, I'm going to give that thing a hug. And then I did. It was captured on film.
Oh man, what it must be like to be like a bachelor doing stupid things.
All right.
I'll
be back. All right, you be back.
All right, I'm going to think I'm going to cut out here.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later when you feel less, like, sick.
Yeah, I think the next time I'll just drown the sickness out with alcohol, and then we'll forget it from there.
There's still time.
There you go. You got to borrow some of Luke's brew.
Yep, I have plenty.
All right, start dipping in it.
Yeah, there you go. Sharing like.
Then he'll be sick.
Oh, no.
That's the plan.
That's the master plan.
It's going to be a great day at work tomorrow.
Awesome.
You know it. Very good. Enjoy the rest of your show, guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
So for New Year's for us, what I did this year is we had a little party. We did some cocktails, and I made a menu for people to make cocktails with. So that was pretty cool. So people were picking from the menu. My buddy Don's father, he's crazy. He drinks like my family does. He came over with this 12-pack or I don't even know how many. A cooler. He brought a cooler of beer. But between beers, he was having cocktails. So we started out with a scorpion bowl. Right, made a nice homemade scorpion bowl, but I got this scorpion bowl for Christmas from my brother that's got fire in the middle, but it's not real fire. It's like this LED light, and then it's got like this oxidizer thing, so it makes steam, and it sits right in the middle, and it bubbles the water, and it makes steam, and the water like spurts out every now and then, and it's got this bright red glow to it, so it looks like a volcano, which is pretty neat. And then I put on top of that, because I would put it really damper on the situation, but in the bowl itself, I put the scorpion, and we sucked that down. He had like 4 or 5 like ladlefuls of scorpion. Then he had a couple martinis and like a raspberry martini, a chata martini, and this and that. Who's and the this? Other thing. My Don's father. So
oh my God.
Between the four after the four scorpions, so he started out with a beer, then he had the four scorpions, then he had which I put in my tiki glasses, my tiki godheads, and then he had a martini, then he had a champagne cocktail that we made. And then he went back to beer, and anytime he wasn't drinking a cocktail, he was drinking a beer. So by the end of the night the walls were pretty much holding him up. But he still walked out, which is pretty amazing. He held it in. I don't know, but some people they amaze me in the amount of alcohol. Like, I had one drink, and I was making drinks, and I kind of wanted to be sober a little bit. Dude, some people can put back. I think everybody left with at least 4 cocktails, 5 cocktails in them, and they were all pretty much standing straight. So
wow.
That's how you if you're going to invite people over for New Year's, you're going to invite people that can definitely hold in some crazy-ass amounts of alcohol. Unless, of course, you don't want to provide the alcohol, then that becomes a problem because they drink a lot.
Bastards.
I know. So how is your whatever the hell you're drinking, the Brooklyn Brewing Monster?
All right, I'm working on it. It's
what color is it? Is it dark like all the others?
Yeah, it's actually it's a hazy brown color. It's fucking ugly.
Hazy brown, like you can almost see through it a little bit?
No, like you can't see through it at all.
That's not hazy though. That's like pitch black, right? Like mine is.
You know what it smells like?
Manure.
It smells like no.
That's good. Good thing that's what I wanted to hear you say. No.
It almost smells like rum.
Oh, that's gonna have some alcohol.
Yeah.
So I mean rum, the first two things you're probably gonna get is a sweet alcoholic smell to it. Maybe cane. Are you eating
stop
it?
That. Stop that. No, stop it. Dog.
It has a what?
Danger zone.
I need to smack my beer if I'm going to taste it properly.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
You may not have noticed, but I have not smacked at all tonight.
You must be
That's
doing
not my
wrong.
Problem that you're not a beer smacker.
I'm a bitch smacker.
Smack it! Smack it!
Smack it like that bitch Alakazam, because it's hard being black and gifted.
See? And you're not even close to black, unless you count that thing that's in your photo.
How do you know?
Because it's in your photo. You can see it right there.
Your you're definitely
that might black. Not be me.
Yeah, okay, maybe none of the photos you've ever taken are you. You're some black dude that I don't know about, and you're like all incognito the whole time.
That's kind of weird, posing as a white dude.
I know. I mean, there's so many of us. Why would you ever want to try and be like us? I mean, well, we can't even jump. Anyway.
Anyway, so the Brooklyn Monster, it has an interesting rum-like smell to it, which goes along nicely with the brownish, molassesy flavor that it's got going on. It very low hop presence.
Molassesy, so sweet?
Yeah.
If molassesy was a word?
Like,
thick?
Yeah, like...
Dark? Deep?
Do you know how molasses tastes like? Almost a burnt brown sugar taste?
I haven't had molasses, but that's kind of describing Krugen Blackstrap, if you've ever had their rum. Like dark,
it's
sweet,
actually,
like burnt, smoky,
it's
charred.
It's very, very similar to Blackstrap.
Oh, really?
The other interesting thing is, and I swear to God, it's I can almost taste it in everything that has a hint of it now, but it has like that black
asparagus,
licorice, anise thing.
Oh, this goes back to the podcast we did, the cocktail show, right? Where I brought out the anise.
The most interesting thing about this is it smells hot. Like, you can smell the alcohol and you can taste it really well, and it actually has a lower ABV than the Victory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the ABV of this is like 9.
That's still pretty high, though.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong, it is, but it's really interesting how the American barley wine, with the amount of hop that they use and the type of hop that they use, its job in masking how hot or how much alcohol there is in it. Really interesting.
So, how does that compare to the Victory? It sounds completely different, but. Can you compare
totally
the two?
Different.
Or are they almost like two different styles?
They're really different. I get the fact that they both consider themselves barley wine, whereas the Victory is definitely an American barley wine where it has a lot of hop in it, and the Brooklyn Monster is an English-style barley wine where it has very little hop in it.
So do you like the British better?
No.
No?
No, I'm going to go no on it, but...
So you like the additional dynamics of the hops that the Victory brings, or the American style, the citrus and the different flavors that it plays off of, as opposed to molasses up in your grill?
I kind of like how the American one is just it's not honest. It's a very dishonest beer.
So Americans lie to you, is what you're saying?
It's the American way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. So the old horizontal has more things going on that kind of hide its potency, where the Brooklyn is kind of like this is it, this is the intensity you expect, and you're getting it with a little sweetness, but you're still I mean, if you smell it,
actually the Brooklyn is very sweet. It's very, very sweet. Like, I mean, it's
because mine's not that sweet.
It's malt. I mean, it's like malt in your mouth. It gets in your mouth, and it's just like, I'm going to drop kick your tongue into sweetness.
I'm going to drop kick your palate into pleasure or something.
Into
sweetness.
Tomorrow.
But still, though, it's not going to be something that somebody who drinks a lighter beer is just going to be able to jump right into. There's still going to be that presence of potency and deep thickness that's not really a beer, right? It's not really...
I think if somebody went from Budweiser to this, they would A, spit it out, and B, go, what the fuck?
Yeah, they would die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of these, even though it's not really a wine, they play more into that category where if you get you can get a Cabernet from all over the place, and it never will be the same, right? It has the same similar properties. For instance, even in this case, you're going to have malts.
Like the same type of grape?
Right. It's going to have the malt. It's going to have the same type of grain. It's going to have the thickness. It's going to have the color, you know, but there's still going to be these subtle citruses, bitter hops, different types of hops, maybe, like you said, a molasses, or maybe a sweet brown sugar, or in my case, more of like a coffee, right? They're all the same category, but it's not the same.
Coffee thing going too,
right? It's
actually, you know what? As soon as you said that, you know what this tastes like? This tastes like the Patron. No, it tastes like the Patron coffee tequila.
Cafe XO, I think it's called.
Yes, that's what this tastes like.
Which is that? That has that bitterness, but it's the it's acidity or something.
It's acidity, exactly.
Wow. Right.
Freaking weird.
Yeah, it's got that. Like
that's
I find
exactly
it
exactly what that tastes like.
More of a Starbucks than a Dunkin', or I don't know what coffee you have in Iowa, but something that's roasted, dark roasted, French roasted, where you get the acidity and the darkness, that bitter tannic flavor, as opposed to like the smoothness and the roundness of like a chocolate or malt, yeah, if you will. Like maybe they just cook it real, real deep. Now I know I was reading the article, like I said. And I think the Brooklyn guys, besides they have their ace, you know, their A+ alcohols, their A+ beers that everybody drinks. Their Brooklyns, their Brooklyn Browns, or whatever they are, and that's what they're known for. But then this other stuff comes out, and this is where they kind of get creative, right? And they're like, "We're going to do this. This is the recipe we want to create." I don't think they're really looking to say everybody's going to like this, but they're saying, "Here is some tradition and some history, and we're going to make our own presentation of it." And you're either going to like it or you're not. But in any case, you're probably going to appreciate what it is. It just might not be your flavor. Now, I think somebody that's an American beer drinker, they can't. Nothing that we have here would probably suffice. If anything, mine would be the closest because it's got a little Guinness to it. And I think even a lighter beer drinker might be able to appreciate the flavors of a Guinness. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't really know anybody who's trying to make that transition from like a Bud Light to a Guinness. I don't know if there's a place for that to happen, but if there were, I think this would be the beer that they'd probably go for, because what you guys are describing is a little more intense. Mine has got some flavors to it.
Holy fucking shit, man.
Right? Mine doesn't have really
I don't necessarily consider myself a professional, but I mean, these are relatively challenging beers.
Exactly. It's a challenging beer category. And anytime, and my father did the same thing. He's like, "Oh, here's some, you know, Pete brought over some barley wine. You want a glass?" I'm like, "Sure." And he just looks at me like, "Are you serious?" Like, it was a joke. I'm like, "No. You want a half a glass to start with?" I'm like, "Whatever." You know, I'm not in there to get wrecked. I'm in there to taste some barley wine, right? It's an experience for your palate, whether you like it or not. I don't turn down a beer to taste half a glass, a full glass or whatever. And I finished it. And he was just like, "You finished that thing?" Like, yeah. And he's a big time beer drinker, but it's challenging to all levels of beer drinking, I think. Even somebody who's into the overhopped, like hop devil style stuff, they're going to get challenged in a different direction. They're going to get the malty coffee flavors. And maybe they don't like that. Where we might be like, "I'm not a huge fan of hops, and there's some in here, but I can deal." Like, there's a, I don't know, it's a very challenging beer category.
Yep.
But, and I think what we've learned is that all of them are different. You know, they're all, regardless of if it's American or British, a British compared to a British is different. An American compared to another American is going to be different. And you get what you get. And you don't get upset. But you probably can have some pretty shitty stuff. I've only had one or two bad ones.
I would say that the Victory Old Horizontal is relatively similar to the Dogfish Head Old School, I think, is their barley wine.
Oh, I haven't had theirs.
It's really good, but it's, you know, like most things, Dogfish Head, it has a fairly interesting label where it's like this cowboy-looking dude or a cowboy dude, you know, with a cowboy hat and shirt, etc., and it suggests that you find a tree and you dig a hole and you put a couple of the beers in a trash bag and then bury it and then write down where you buried it and go find it in 2 years because it'll be better.
It probably will.
So, well, that's weird because that's the same thing that you do with poop.
Really?
Minus the whole finding it in 2 years part, but
you bury it being better.
You do that with corpses too, I guess. But no, but that was one of the comparisons that a couple of the sites when I was reading the history said is that, and I didn't quote them specifically, but a barley wine gets better with age, which makes it more like a real wine, Even though it's brewed and it's really technically a beer, it's got grains, all the technical definitions, it's aged. And the longer it ages, it rounds out the flavors. A younger one is going to be probably a lot more hoppy than one that's been sitting for 10 years. And I guess that's, you know, makes it similar to a completely different category of spirit or alcohol or whatever you want to call it. But it gives it more of its own dynamic to the beer category, which you don't get. Because I have winter ales downstairs. If I keep them for 3 years, all they do is they get weird floaty things in them, right? They don't get any better. So, I mean, and I've tasted them, and they taste definitely more potent in the alcohol level. And there's a lot more sludge on the bottom. But I can't say that they got better with age. I just say they got funkier. Right? And if this can get better, it must be the properties that make up the beer that makes it so that you can throw it in a ditch and bury it like old Atari 2600 video games like Pac-Man and E.T. And just throw it in there and pull it up later and be like, boom, there you go. Drink it. Love it.
Totally.
But it's still challenging.
Definitely so.
So I think that covered everything. I think we got it all in here. We got everybody's beers, right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
When is that going to get old? Is it old?
No, it's not.
Is it old now? It's not old yet?
No.
All right. It's going to be old someday.
Labia, that's what she said. That's all I had.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm almost done mine. Oh, my. I've had some beers in the past where they've been just overhopped, and they've always seemed to come in a big-ass bottle. I never finish them. I'm probably going to finish this off. I'm very buzzed, so it's working its magic, and it's only 8.5%. Oh. Heavy.
Only.
Yeah, it's heavier. It's challenging. It's like a Guinness that will knock you unconscious, right? It's got all the properties that make up. If you can drink this seriously, and not say I like it because everybody's looking at you, but actually appreciate it, I think you can probably appreciate a whole wide category of different beers because it covers a group of them, right, in all of its intensity. So you'll be able to handle a winter warmer. You'll be able to handle an IPA and some of the lighter beers, obviously, because they're lighter. So I don't know if it gets any stronger or more challenging than this. So I hope everybody takes everything that we've said, whether we have any knowledge to take away from it at all, right? But we've all given our impressions of what we think of how barley wine is. And as long as you all understand that it is challenging, if you went out and you bought a bottle of this and you're not doing a podcast, right? I say you go out and you buy one bottle and you try it. If you don't like it, you're going to have to just skip the $8, $9, $10 you spent and say it was a learning thing and I'll live with it. But if you're ever given the opportunity to taste it, and they're just for free especially, take that opportunity and see what we're saying, because I think it's definitely an experience for your face. Maybe it'll rip your teeth out. Maybe it won't. So there you go. This is Derek for Doug, Luke, and our friend Mike, who ended up having to, you know, go be sick, like what people do at this time of year. For all the rest of you, you can go get buzzed. Check out everydaydrinkers.com. You can find us, of course, at everydaydrinkers.com and everydaydrinkers.tv. If you want to see what Doug looks like, for those that listen to the show and they're like, I wish I could figure out what he looks like, you can go to everydaydrinkers.tv. You can search for our, go from what range were we doing these episodes for? From, I think, the probably around the 15th of December 2010 throughout there's ones of Doug, the Santa shot, which I think has 600,000 views on Mevio.com, and a couple of the other different Santa drinks we did. My brother was behind the set. It was a good time. I think everybody had a good time. I actually watched all the episodes, and I laughed my ass off, and I was there for it, which is pretty damn fucking impressive. So there you go. Check us out. All right. I guess you've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers.
I guess.
And for those like Luke, you need to go finish off 32 ounces of awesome.
There might be pure.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You can probably bottle it.
Barley wine.
You can probably put it in the fridge. No, here's what you do. And I'll tell you this. I've done this from experience. It works pretty well. If you have any of that, like, not plastic wrap, cling wrap, what I do is I cut out a little square cling wrap and I put it on top of the bottle. Uh-huh. And it sticks it right down and throw it in the refrigerator. You're good to go.
There you go.
So you go.
Nice.
Let's make Mike drink it.
You could do that.
I'll tell him it's cough syrup.
What, is he a dog now?
I don't know.
Drink it. You gotta wrap it up.
Dog's cough syrup.
You gotta wrap it up in some bologna. Eat this. It's spilling everywhere. What is that? It's glass. Just eat it. Be awesome. All right. I'll start the introductions. Whoa, I see stuff going in. That's friggin' cool.
Oh, we're a bunch of nerds.
Yes, it's awesome to see real-time typing with cursors and everything. It makes for awesomeness. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I'm rocking barley wine like a Norse god.
So how's that?
Which means I'm drinking it out of a horn cap.
It's still got bits of flesh in it. Awesome. It does. He just ripped it right off.
Love me some scalp of my barley wine.
That's right.
It is.
I heard the pop. What about the shards?
It's a very delicate job.
The shards of glass don't bother you that fall into the bottle?
Nah, you can pass that.
That's probably true. There is some probable truth to that, or at least kind of feel a high for a little bit as your internals are bleeding. That's pretty nice. So that's awesome.
No.
So I've got that going for me. Yeah.
I think if you do it after you have like a nice solid meal, it'll get wrapped up. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it'll get wrapped up. So, you know.
Like sushi? I mean, how does the stomach work? I guess I don't know.
Yes, it gets eventually it makes its way to your small intestine and it gets wrapped up in the poo.
In a sushi roll.
So when it comes out, it doesn't cut your ass.
Well, at least you cleared that up.
Your sphincter.
Yeah, I don't need any shards. I don't need any shards in my sphincter.
Just try that out. Just give it a shot and let us know how it works.
Yeah,
out.
No kidding.
Someone's gonna try it.
All right. Speaking of shards in the sphincter, Luke, have you met?
No.
So Luke,
I'm not going to be this episode's Cade. How dare you?
But you're the next
Back
one.
Back up. Start over.
Speaking of Luke.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just speaking of you.
Actually, that reminds me of an earlier episode where Doug said, wait. I have something to say. And then put in like this little news flash.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. And he couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I was like, crap, what did I have to say? I had anything.
Did you go back and listen to that episode where you came on drunk?
No. Oh, you're talking to him.
Yeah. Oh, I know Lou's listened to him. But you went back because we sent Kate that episode for her to listen to. She did some quotes for us, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretend as if you were actually there recording with us and just interject things every once in a while.
That's pretty funny.